remembering the suffering and death of Jesus on Good Friday a couple of days ago. And as we reflected on the cross, as we reflected on Jesus' suffering, the stripes that he was whipped with, the sacrifice that he made for us to take our place, to bear our sins, to be nailed on the cross, to bleed and die so that we could have access to our Heavenly Father and have eternal life. You know, but the cross is just half of that story. I mean, we are so thankful for the cross. We are so thankful for the work that Jesus did on the cross. But the cross is just half of the story. Because without the events on that resurrection Sunday 2,000 years ago, we would not be celebrating and serving a risen Lord. You know, it's because of today. Yes, it was Good Friday, but it's actually because of Awesome Sunday that we have new life, that the resurrection power of Jesus is so real that he can be raised to life. So, you know, really, I just really want to focus on that resurrection power today. And, you know, today we had a wonderful day of celebration. For some of you, you were with us when we had our sunrise service at 7:30 in the morning at Valley Christian in San Jose, and then we had two different baptismal services at our San Jose campus where about 30 people professed their faith in Jesus and followed Jesus in baptism. And actually two from our own New Vine family, Bao and Angus, were there, and they were baptized this morning, so we want to congratulate them. But they're actually be giving the sermon later, so I'm actually kind of like, you know, a precursor. I'm kind of like the opening act, but they're going to be giving testimony of what God has been doing in their lives, and they're going to be the people that are going to be giving the sermon. So, but before I call them up here, I want to briefly go over a resurrection passage that is probably familiar to many of us, and that's found in Matthew chapter 28, from verses 1 to 10. If I could ask all of us to stand up and read this together in one voice. Okay, so let's go. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Thank you. Please be seated. This might be a very familiar passage to some of us, but the passage basically starts out with two of the Marys going to visit the tomb. Now, why do you think they were visiting the tomb? You know, the passage that we just read says that they went to look at the tomb. Now, I don't know what's so appealing about a tomb, but, you know, it says they went to look at the tomb. But surely there was more than one reason to just go and look at the tomb. You know, we see from the Gospels in Mark and Luke that they actually had prepared spices, and they wanted to anoint the body of Christ. And they even wondered between the two of them who was going to roll away the stone so that they could get to the body of Christ. And then we just read that there was a violent earthquake and that the angel of the Lord rolled back the stone, terrified the guards, and then turns and talks to the two Marys. Now, verses 5 through 7, it says, and we just read this, "The angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay, then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" Now, there are just a few things I want to highlight in this angelic-human interaction that we just read about. You know, the first thing is, did you realize that the women were the first witnesses of the resurrected Christ? It was these two Marys. And did you ever wonder why it was these two Marys and not Jesus' disciples or his inner circle that the angel first appeared to or that Jesus appeared to? You know, back in the first century, you have to know that women were not that highly thought of, unfortunately. And they weren't even eligible to testify in a Jewish court of law. So it's quite unique that an angel of the Lord appears to the two Marys. And even later in verse 9, Jesus himself, the resurrected Jesus, appeared to the women and said, "Greetings." You know, in that time and age, you know, when women weren't treated as equals, Jesus affirmed the full dignity of our sisters, and he appeared to them as one of his first witnesses of the resurrected Christ. Just keep that in mind. And then the second thing is in verse 6, when the angel says, "He is not here, he has risen just as he said." Just as he said. Now, you may remember that in the book of Matthew, Jesus actually had predicted his death and resurrection, not just once or twice, but he'd actually mentioned it 5 times to his disciples and to his people that were following after him. But yet, the disciples, the women, the crowds, they didn't seem to understand or remember it or even get it. In fact, the women were not expecting to find an empty tomb. They were expecting to find the body of Jesus. They were expecting to go there. They had prepared spices to anoint the body of Christ, thinking that he was still in the grave and dead. But they were surprised, first of all, to see the stone rolled away, and then to see the angel sitting on top of the stone. And even more so, they were surprised that the body of Christ wasn't there, that it was just the cloths that had wrapped the body. And they were surprised to see the empty grave and the resurrected Christ later appearing to them. For whatever reason, they had forgotten what Jesus had said about his resurrection. Or maybe they didn't understand fully what Jesus had predicted, that he was gonna rise again on the third day, just as he said. You know, when we think about our lives, sometimes, perhaps, Jesus has said certain things to us, but for whatever reason, we may have forgotten what Jesus has said. You know, maybe Jesus has a special word for us. Maybe he's been saying to us, you know, "You are my precious child. You are my son. You are my daughter." Or maybe to some of us, he's been saying, "You need to be bold and courageous, for I'm with you." You know, maybe he has to say it a few times. Maybe he even has to say it 5 times like he did to his disciples about his resurrection. But just as he said, what is it about us that maybe we don't understand or remember what Jesus has said to us recently? You know, and I pray that on this Resurrection Sunday, that Jesus would help us recall to our minds what he has said to each one of us. The promise that he has given specifically to you and to me. What has Jesus said that we need to remember and claim? And then the third thing is found in verse 7. "Go quickly and tell his disciples." You know, both the angel and Jesus, they tell the two Marys to go and tell others about the resurrected Lord. You know, after the angelic encounter in verse 8, the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to his disciples. You know, just a few days ago, they had thought that they had lost their beloved Jesus. They had thought that the Romans had killed their king. Now they couldn't believe what they were hearing and seeing with their own eyes. And they were excited. They ran to tell the disciples. They were so joyful. They couldn't believe what they had just seen, that they had encountered the risen Lord, that Jesus himself had appeared to them and said, "Look, I'm alive. Go and tell the people. Go and tell the disciples." You know, if we've encountered the risen Lord ourselves, are we just as excited to tell others, to tell those around us of his resurrection, of the power of the cross? Are we excited to be telling others about this risen King that we serve, and that he is alive, that our God is not dead? You know, part of telling others about the risen King is when we profess before others what Christ has done for us, when we profess before others our faith in Jesus. And as I shared earlier, just a few hours ago, more than 30 brothers and sisters in our San Jose campus, some of you were there, declared publicly their faith and their belief in Jesus. And they were all baptized. And like I said, from New Vine, Angus and Bao took the plunge. They went all the way under the water. They didn't drown because Pastor Ted picked them up. And brought them back to us. But they followed Jesus in baptism. And we took a couple of videos, and we want to share with you as if you were there. I know some of you couldn't make it. Not a problem. We have a couple of videos. And then after the video, I'm going to ask Bao and Angus to come up and share with us what Jesus has done for them. So let's go ahead and roll the video.
Angus? Have you repented of your sinful ways and believed in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
And will you love him with all your heart? And will you obey everything Jesus commanded for all the days of your life?
Yes.
Church, will you receive and welcome Angus into this spiritual family and help him to fulfill the vow that he's making before the Lord today? Your sinful ways and believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
And will you love him with all your heart and obey everything he has commanded for all the days of your life?
Yes.
And church, will you receive Bao into this spiritual family, and will you love him and support him and help him to fulfill the vow that he's making before the Lord today?
Yes!
So Bao, upon hearing your confession of faith in Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
So let's welcome up Angus and Bao as they join me. You know, we could have done it here, but I think Pastor Ted wanted to actually not just give them a bath here, but to actually have them take the plunge at our San Jose campus. So, all right, so here we are. How do you guys feel? Big day today, right?
Yeah.
How do you feel, Bao?
Good. Yeah.
Are you on mute?
Testing.
Oh, okay.
Mine is on.
1, 2.
All right. How do you feel, Bao?
Good. Yeah, good. Relieved. This is the beginning, and it feels good.
Yeah, pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, yeah, like I think I've been walking with the Lord for a while, and I've witnessed all he has done for me, and I think today it's just another step to like just declare that I can have a family, that I can ask help, and also like to help out. So
yeah.
Feel pretty good.
Okay. Am I on? Okay, here we go. So tell us a little bit about your story, about just how you came to faith in Jesus, how you came to trust him. Anyone want to go? Angus, why don't you go first?
Sure.
Okay.
Let me see. So I grew up from a pretty broken family. My mom, when I was 10 years old, my mom told me and my sister that my dad actually has an extramarital affair with this lady. It's been happening for, I think, as soon as I was born, it was something that is really hard to accept, and it is also hard to understand too at the same time. For for a long time of my life, I have no idea what my worth is. I don't know why will he do that. Does that mean that he thinks the family is not important? If that's so, why am I here? Why am I right here? Why am I being born at this place? So there's just this sense of unworthiness inside of me. And back then, I just didn't know how to cope with it. And as a 10-year-old, I just kind of suppressed it down, just, okay, move along and see, I think, just don't think about it. And then coming to here, America, when I was 18 years old, wow, that seems like a long time ago. 2010, yes, 2010, and I was going to De Anza College in Cupertino, wonderful school, and wonderful for me at that time too, because the whole school, I actually didn't have to speak a word of English to like get through the day. I was like, yes! And I went home, every day is pretty standard. I go home and eat, and I always will talk to my mom on FaceTime. Not FaceTime, I don't think they back then have FaceTime yet. They only have Skype. So it's the blue thing with the S, just so you know. So I was talking to her every day, and every day we would just end in tears. She would be crying a lot, and I never saw her cry like that. And I think as her son, seeing a mother cry like that, I was just speechless. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. I was very weighed down. I was dragged. I feel like there was like just this heavy weight was dragging me down a lot. And then, let's see, backtrack to the freshman orientation at De Anza. There's this fellowship leader that came in and then kind of like giving out flyers, so like asking out people, like, oh, let's come out, like you should come out to a church, like to a church event, and then we'll have free food there. And as I, oh, free food, yes, I will be there. So I went out there and then, got to talk to them and get to know them a little bit. And it was great because that's the first month that I was there and I had no friends or whatsoever. It was nice to have people to talk to, basically people to like get to know you about, a little bit about you. And then they, throughout like the couple months, they would do like very nice things that I feel very weird about. Like they would drive me home and they would treat me out for dinner. And I was like, wow, they're so nice. Why they're so nice? And I know that it's the Holy Spirit, but back then I just couldn't quite pinpoint what is the exact difference, So back to the spot where I finished my call with my mom, and this memory just flashback of my high school. I went to Christian affiliate high school, so we would have religion class once a week. We would buy a Bible and then like book of hymns, and we'll have like altar call once a week. So all this like memory came back. It was like, oh, remember that time at assembly, you sing songs like that and you learn about Jesus about that. Those memories weren't that impressive on my heart, because I wasn't quite clicking with Christianity yet. But it was just weird at that point. It's like, oh, what happened? Why do I have those flashbacks? And at the moment, I think now, again, I realize it's the Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit speaking. It's like, why don't you just try it out? Like, there's nothing for you to lose. We were so desperate at a point that my mom actually practiced witchcraft on my dad. Putting some sort of like yellow paper underneath my dad's pillow. It felt really strange, and So I was like, okay, I'm gonna give it a go, and I'm gonna try it out to see what's going on with this Jesus, you know. And I think ever since that, I have experienced a lot of restoration from him. So.
Thank you, Angus. Hey, Bao, what's your story like?
I have a Catholic background. My parents are strict Catholic. I have an older sister. And I just felt really far from them. I mean, my dad was kind of scary. And I remember being obedient, but also very frustrated all the time, angry. I was just weird. I would say a lot of weird things in school too. But I felt like I did wish I wasn't born a few times, a lot of times, and I had like a distant relationship with my family. And yeah, I mean, when I was a senior in high school, I got kicked out of school because of a fight. I was in juvenile hall for a few days, and I felt like I did meet this guy who told me something new, that you can pray from wherever and you pray to Jesus, and that was new to me. And getting out, I felt like I was closer to God. I felt like I got a second chance, and I felt good, but not for too long. And I went back to my old ways. I thought I had repented then. And then between 18 and 22, I had a lot of like doubts. I was in and out of faith. I wasn't so sure about church. And then when I was 22, I had this mental breakdown. And I even tried to commit suicide, and I failed. It was pretty traumatic. I blamed my parents a lot for things, but I eventually like tried to grow out of it. I started reading a lot of books. Fiction, classic books, and it felt good because I wasn't a good reader at the time, and I was getting better, so it was fun. And I started believing in God again, and it was just timing. My cousin encouraged me to come to church, and I went to SJCAC, and I went to a Bible study, and just I finally grew closer to God, and I felt like He was filling a void that I had. Like, it wasn't just a temporary thing, like some things in the world are. It wasn't temporary. It was something that lasts. It was something complete.
Even though you were raised a Catholic and baptized as an infant, why did you still feel the need to be baptized as an adult?
It's a good question. To be honest, I feel awkward about having to explain. But as far as I know, I was baptized when I was a few weeks old or a few months old, and I don't know what difference it would make. few months old, whatever, like I wouldn't remember, and it wasn't my choice. And to make it more confusing, they give you a saint's name or whatever. And I don't know, I just feel, it feels weird having to explain. I just feel like I should be baptized, like as an adult. Yeah.
That's great, that's right, yeah.
And the book of John, like chapter 3, yeah, like how Jesus talks about being reborn, and yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. Wow, wonderful. So you guys were baptized both this morning, just a few hours ago. How did you decide to be baptized this time versus like earlier or later? Like why this round?
Well, someone encouraged me to get baptized last year, and I was gonna get baptized, but my dad was against it. He's a strict Catholic, and he said you only need to be baptized once. And I felt like, yeah, even if that's true, I'm just going by what you said, that you baptized me as a baby, and I think this was my one time. And yeah, I just prayed because I didn't want to dishonor him. I wanted to honor my parents. I didn't want to just like disrespect him or denounce like my Catholicism, because I appreciate being brought up Catholic. I appreciate the introduction to God, to Jesus. But eventually I was just gonna have to get baptized, and I guess it was now.
Thanks, God. Angus? Because you said it was 2010?
2010.
2010,
yeah, right.
When you first were a student at De Anza, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. 2010. For me, I think growing up, I mean, ever since I became a Christian, I wanted to figure Christianity out. I want to figure Jesus out first. I think I am trying to be a very analytical person. I'm trying to figure it out. Okay, this is where all the theology, you know, meets, and I want to make sure that I understand everything before I do baptism. And after a while, I mean, I understand like pretty much of it. I mean, there's vast knowledge there that I cannot understand. But this past couple years has been an eye-opening experience for me in terms of getting to know who Jesus is, to know that he is alive. He's not a statue that we just spit words at. Those years makes him very real to me. It's just also at the same time, it makes me aware of what is going on between God, me and God. And when the word baptism came around, I just felt so much closer. I think the word baptism felt much closer to me in the past couple years of what it means and what it does. It is to be one with him, to be renewed, to be out of the darkness. There's no more accusation from the enemies, and that is such a strong hope and such a happy thing to have. I think my heart start craving about it, start wanting that to be more, wanting that into my life. And so when the baptism came around, and also friends around encourages me a lot too, just to go for it. And I think then also it's, you know, just special to have a baptism on a Sunday to remember Jesus to be risen, and also me getting baptized at the same time. So yeah, it's just that closeness that I've experienced the past couple of years has have called me and also pushed me to take a one step further with Jesus.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. So I know both of you shared a little bit about just your family, you know, some of the brokenness, some of the, you know, things with your parents and even growing up, you know, in your household. About what has Jesus done for you in terms of those hurts and those broken pieces?
Well, another perspective, like sometimes we are born into difficult situations, but there's a better life in heaven, and it's a different perspective. Like I don't have to argue with my parents all the time. I know like God is the Father, like our father, and like my parents are like my earthly parents, and maybe one day when I'm blessed with children, that I hope they understand that too. That and so like I don't like you don't have everything doesn't have to be made out for you. Like the good news is Jesus, and there's a way for everybody. And yeah, in terms of being angry, like I don't have any need to be like angry like I used to be, and no reason to be sad either. Like I used to be really negative, and you start think like when you're negative, you start to notice negative things. If you think life sucks, you start to notice why it sucks. But when you see that life is a gift and life is a blessing, then you notice all these positive things. And yeah, Jesus opened my eyes, and just that's how I've changed. Like I don't know, it feels better to not be angry.
Amen. Huh?
I'd rather be, you know, at peace and joy. Like
that's right.
So, it's Jesus.
I think what has changed so far is that I have a personal experience of the truth. In terms of reading a Bible the first couple years, I was reading it in a way that not quite knowing what it means, like why there's the book of Numbers there, why they're listing all the names that I cannot say, I cannot pronounce. I just couldn't understand it. Like, you know, you just always try to guess the word out, and it all the way just came out wrong. But I think after the couple years, it's just like going back to the personal experience of the truth. When I read it, every word came alive. Every word came alive. I think the Holy Spirit has changed my eyes to see all the words. He has opened up. He has breaks down all the callous of my heart. Because of that, because of how I grew up, I shut all the feelings down. I think that's how I cope with experience. I just didn't know what to do, so I just turned to numbness. And everything that is happy, sad, I would still experience it, but they don't touch the deepest part of me. They would just be like sliding along the surface, and that would be all. So when I read that I am broken in the Bible, I feel really broken. I feel really broken. Just yesterday, I was journaling with the Lord, and because I had this uneasiness that I felt when I see people getting praised, and I asked, like, what is going on, God? Like, why do I have this uneasiness inside of me? And I meditated with him. He brought me back to high school when I have a really good friend that he's really good at everything, and every time I see him, I get jealous of him. I get jealous of him, so he said, "You are jealous. You're jealous that people getting praise." And I say, "Why? Like, okay, like, you know, God, okay, you got the problem, so now help me figure out, like, what is the root? What is the root of that?" And he's saying that you actually crave your true need. What you really need is actually a lot of attention because you didn't quite get it from your family. You grow up just trying to get all the attention. When people getting praise and you're not getting it, that's how you get jealous. And I said, "Wow." What can you do with me then, God? And he said, I will give you all my attention to you. I will fix your eyes on me. I will give all my attention to you." And I think that's what changed me the most, is that I am able to be so real and so honest in front of God, saying that, "God, I'm not okay. Actually, I feel really jealous. I feel really angry, but I don't know why. So help me." That honesty really changed my life.
Oh, wow. Oh, it's so good, right? Yeah? Are you a brother, Sebao?
Yeah. I forgot to add that another way is, another way I've changed is it's easy to get caught up in the world and wanting what other people have. That was one of the reasons I was depressed and angry. And with Jesus, I wish I knew Jesus sooner. But with Jesus, I didn't have to want like what other people have when it comes to possessions, material, or their spouse, or their circle of friends, or their social status. Yeah, like, I'm so glad that there's an answer, and it's Jesus. I don't have to be jealous of these like worldly things.
Wow, I love that phrase. I wish I knew Jesus sooner, huh? I mean, it's like, I think that's why at New Vine we want to tell others about Jesus because of what Jesus has done in my life and in your life. So we're going to take, thank you for sharing, thank you for preaching today. But we're going to take a few minutes to pray for our brothers and just bless them as they enter into this new season in their walk with Christ. So we're going to ask you guys to come down, and then we're going to ask all of you to come to the front and just gather around our brothers. And then we're just going to pray some prayers of blessing over them. And then we will celebrate and worship again.